I ask that you please stand for the reading of Scripture. It comes from the book of Numbers today, from chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." At the end of 40 days they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all of the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed to them the fruit of the land. And they told them, "We come to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we sing to them." The word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. I really enjoy having the kids up here. You never know what's going to come out of their mouth. Sometimes you can see parents start ducking, under the pews. Do y'all remember being that young? Do y'all remember just living life, with nothing holding you back, splashing in mud puddles, climbing trees, doing things, never thinking about the consequences? I remember, a long time ago, building ramps and jumping over stuff on my bicycle, doing things like that, never thinking about, breaking bones, getting scrapes, or anything like that. Y'all remember those days? How old was it somewhere along the way we got concerned, about the economy, politics, disease, fears, worried about, falling and scraping a knee or something? Well, we just stopped living like that, really having fun, and now we hold back. Over 100 times in Scripture, we are told four words. Do not be afraid. You're not going to do, not much can happen to you splashing in mud puddles. You're going to get your feet wet. Climbing trees, I can, maybe climbing trees, not do so much of that. But, going along splashing in mud puddles, just do that once, just feel the joy in it. But what if faith, believing in God, believing in the things you cannot see. What if faith holds the key to living fearlessly? We're starting with an Old Testament story today. The Israelites are about 1 mile from the promised land, right there at the edge. They're at the edge of the promised land. But they're afraid to go in. So close, yet so far away. We're not meant to live with no fear at all. Fear keeps us from doing things, stupid things. And I see people online all the time doing stupid things, doing stuff. I look at them and say, gosh, how stupid can you be? There's a good possibility you're going to break your back, your arm, your neck or something. Some of the things, that people do. But there's a part of the brain, every person, every, human, every animal has it, that it comes to a time it will either click into fight or flight mode, and it's designed to keep us safe. You know, that if it senses danger, you know, that we need to, you know, decide which one we're going to do. There are times that we're better off running. There's times we need to just stand and fight, and we need to know the difference. There's times that we just need to stop and freeze and don't move and see what's going on in front of us. I remember those days, you know, in first aid class, you know, and they teach you that, you know, when you come up, you see somebody on the ground, stop. You know, don't do anything. Look at around, you know, why are they on the ground? You know, did they hit a live wire? You know, what is it? You know, stop and evaluate. See what's going on and think about what your next move is. You know, what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we touch, what we sense, even our balance. All of these things sends, you know, signals to that part of our brain. In a split second, our brain decides, do you stand and fight or do you run? You know, our brain is designed that way by God. At times we react, you know, even before our brain can kick in gear. You ever have one of those times? You just automatically react, react out of impulse, react out of, muscle memory. Because one little section put there by God reacts. How many of you have alarm systems in your house? Have you ever had it go off in the middle of the night for no reason? You know, the parsonage has an alarm system. You know, be sleeping, you know, the middle of the night, and all of a sudden that thing goes off. Oh, my God. Jump up, you know, run around, you know, check everything. You know, and you look at things, you know, window, you know, living room window, bedroom window. Now, the parsonage windows, you know, they're double pane, but they're not made double pane. You know, the part of it's separate. You know, so a truck going by, loud music, I think sometimes just makes them rattle. You know, but just, to jump up. Whoever had a smoke detector go off in the middle of the night for some unknown reason, you know, just to get up, you know, shocked, you know, and have to go check it. You know, everybody can see or sense danger, even when there is no real danger. There's a lot of people, I hope none of you, there's a lot of people that struggle each and every day with fear, worry, anxiety, concerns. Some struggle so much where it's a real, real problem for them even to function. A survey taken a while back, 25,000 people. Now, they asked, you know, of the survey taken, they asked, okay, first, they started with the 80 and older people, and they asked, how many of you struggle with fear, anxiety, concerns daily? You know, it said 17% of them. You know, I don't know how many, you know, it's 17%. Then they asked the 28 and younger, you know, how many struggle with fear, anxiety, concerns daily? 51%. Three times more than the 80 and over, you know. And the people taking the survey said they figured out the reason the people 80 and older didn't, because they've lived through everything. You know, said, ain't much can scare us anymore. You know, you got something, hey, come on, bring it on. You know, that, you know, as we age, the fear factor drops. Okay, how about men versus women? You know, 21% of the men, 1 out of 5, say they struggle or they have fear, anxiety concerns. 35% of the women, 1 out of 3. So the men, women struggle more with fear, anxiety concerns than the men do. That women are 60% more likely to struggle with significant levels. But the big question, does your faith, does church, when I say church, I mean being involved in church, make a difference in that part of your life? 29% of the people surveyed say they are regularly involved in church. They say they experience fear, anxiety, concerns, but not to the point of overpowering them. But for those not involved in a church, 49% Can you believe that? 49% of those people say that fear, anxiety, concerns, they struggle with on a daily basis. So yeah, faith does make a difference. Now they also asked this, and I was wondering about this, said, okay, how many people out of 25,000 never experienced fear, anxiety, concern? They said only 1%. Only 1%. Said those 1% had a drinking problem too. Now, I'm just saying that. But people not involved in church are twice as likely to experience these things than people are that are involved in church. People experience fear if they're involved in church or not. But over 100 times in Scripture, we told us four words: do not be afraid. At times it is God himself saying it. At times it's Jesus saying it. At times it's angels saying it. At times it's prophets saying it. But again and again, we are told, do not be afraid. But fear can be a good thing. It can keep us from doing stupid things. But in our story today, the scripture today, Numbers, the book of Numbers, the Israelites have gotten out of Egypt. They've been in Egypt as slaves. Moses leads them out, and Moses brings them to Mount Sinai. You know, and I'm thinking about this, you know, over a million people. Can you imagine that? Over a million people in the wilderness. In the wilderness, you know, and they're out there at Mount Sinai. And there God gives them the law. He gives them instructions on how to build the tabernacle. You know, he gave them for instructions on how to build the symbolic throne of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And then at some point, God says, okay, people, it's time. It's time for you to go to the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land flowing with milk and honey. And off they go. The book of Deuteronomy tells us that it's 11 days, somewhere around 11 days from Mount Sinai to the promised land. So they go. They're about a mile from the promised land. They're at an oasis. And God tells Moses, choose men from each tribe and send them out to study the land, to study the crops, to look at the water resources, look at the people, and to look at everything. So these men go. And how long are they gone for? 40 days. They go and they come back. And when they come back, they bring grapes. They bring pomegranates. They bring dates. A land flowing with milk and honey. Now the milk, supposedly from the goats that are there, honey. Now we know where honey comes from. Honey comes from bees. But the word used can also be said it's a syrup made from dates. So it could be either one. But the people see all of this. All of this they bring back. Said, hey, look at all that you have. Look at all that land offers. And then, the men put their foot in their mouth. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. 10 out of the 12 men, no way we can do this. We cannot go into this land. There are giants out there. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land. They had spied out saying, the land through which we have gone is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. There we saw the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. Now, reading this, and so we seemed to them, how do they know how those people felt about them unless they talked to them? And if they talked to them, they came back. And they went out into this land. They brought all of this stuff back. So how bad could the people there be? And yet, they said, no, we can't go. Fear can grip us. Fear can paralyze us. Now, I don't remember if it's on both car mirrors, you know, the side mirrors, but I know it's on the passenger side. You know what it said? You know, things are objects are closer than they appear to be. You know, meaning, you know, you see it and it's closer and bigger than it really is. We come up against things in life and we look at things and we think they're closer and they're bigger than they really are. Fear. I ran across an acronym for fear: false events appearing real. Fear. Things, events, situations. But a lot of times they're not as bad as we make them out to be. A saying I read a long time ago is by George Sheehan. He read a book, Running and Being. You know, he said, do not let your mind control you. You control your mind. You know, at times, you know, what reason he had said it, you know, you wake up in the morning, you know, you just can't get that 1 foot out of the bed to go run, to go work out. You know, don't let your mind control you. You control your mind. Make your rear end get up out of bed and go do the things that you know you're supposed to do. There's a saying or a story from a while back. It was a long time ago. Church was having communion. Little girl bringing, you know, was coming up with her parents, and they were using little wafers like we use. And I know, you know, some of y'all, you know, don't like those little wafers. You'd rather Hawaiian bread. But the little girl comes up, and she got a little wafer. They gave it to her, and they're walking away. And what did she holler out? I want more. I want more. That wasn't enough. People are afraid to have more. To have more of God. To have more of Jesus. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry. The people wept that night. All the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, why did we have died in the land of Egypt? Would you bring us out in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones would become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back. These people had lived their whole lives as slaves. That's all they knew, was slaves to this. God sends Moses to them. Everything that Moses said would happen, happened. The Passover happened. They lead them to the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. They see that happen. And as they're going, God is in front of them, a pillar of smoke by day, fire by night. They see the very presence of God with them, the faithfulness of God, the presence of God. And still, they get to a point and say, we can't go any further. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Have you ever been a slave of fear? Of crossing over to the promised land. Fear of joining a Bible study. Fear of going to Sunday school. Fear of starting another Sunday school. Fear of getting close to God. Are you just like that little girl? I want more. Or you know, that's as far as I go. That line, I'm going to stay on this side. I don't want to get any closer to God than I am right now. Joshua and Caleb, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who are among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out, an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear those people. For they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. You know, if you want to stay on this side and never cross over into the promised land, you know, it's real easy to find people to take the easy way out. Easy to find people to stay outside of the promised land. And at one point, the people said, okay, we'll go. But God said, no, hey, it's too late. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For every day you shall bear your iniquity, 40 years you shall know my displeasure. Is there something God is calling you to do? What's holding you back? What are you afraid of? To get closer to God, to do anything? Or you spend the rest of your life wandering in the wilderness, never ever crossing that line into the promised land of a relationship with Father, Son, Spirit. And you may be in the promised land now, and good, but never ever stay in one place with God. Once we cross over, there's always more. There's always more. But you have to want more. And go for it. Just like I was telling the kids with the rope. God gives you the Holy Spirit. It's not meant to stay dormant in us. That we have to feed it. We have to feed ourselves. Through reading scripture, through prayer, through study, through fellowship, church. What are you afraid of? Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we give you thanks for this day. Lord God, we pray may nothing hold us back ever from crossing over into the promised land, for crossing over into a relationship with you, Father, Son, Spirit, and to know you as our risen Savior. Lord God, be with us. In your Son's holy and life-giving name, amen.